He looked around at the remains of the Red Court. Reckon you more or less are. I thought about that while the sky grew lighter. Then I said, how did Ariana know? Ebenezer shook his head. A dinner. Maggie, my Maggie, asked me to a dinner. She'd just taken up with that Wraith bastard. Ariana was there. Maggie didn't warn me. They had some scheme they wanted my support on. The vampires thought I was just Maggie's mentor then. He sighed. I wanted nothing to do with it. Said she shouldn't want it either. And we fought. I grunted. Fought like family. Yes, he said. Wraith missed it. He's never had any family that was sane. Ariana saw it. Filed it away for future reference. Is everything in the open now? I asked. Everything's never in the open, son, he responded. There are things we keep hidden from one another, things we hide from ourselves, things that are kept hidden from us, and things no one knows. You always learn the damnedest things at the worst possible times. Or that's been my experience. I nodded. Sergeant Murphy told me what happened. I felt my neck tense. She saw it? He nodded. Reckon so. Hell of a hard thing to do. It wasn't hard, I said quietly. Just cold. Oh, Hoss, he said. There was more compassion in the words than you'd think would go there. Figures in gray gathered at the bottom of the stairs. Ebenezer eyed them with a scowl. Time for me to go, looks like. I nudged my brain and looked down at them. You brought them here. For me. Not so much, he said. He nodded at the sleeping child. For her. What about the White Council? They'll get things sorted out soon, he said. Amazing how things fell apart just long enough for them to sit them out. With Christos running it. Aye. He's Black Council, I said. Or maybe stupid, Ebenezer countered. I thought about it. Not sure which is scarier. Ebenezer blinked at me, then snorted. Stupid, Hoss. Every time. Only so many black-hearted villains in the world, and they only get uppity on occasion. Stupids everywhere, every day. How'd Leah arrange a signal with you? I asked. That, Ebenezer said sourly. On that score, Hoss, I think our elders ran their own game on us. Elders? He nodded down the stairs, where the tall figure with the metal-headed staff had begun creating another doorway out of green lightning. Once it was formed, the space beneath the arch shimmered, and all the hooded figures at the bottom of the stairs looked up at us. I frowned and looked closer. Then I realized that the metal head of the staff was a blade, and that the tall man was holding a spear. Within the hood, I saw a black eye patch, a grizzled beard, and a brief, grim smile. He raised the spear to me in a motion that reminded me somehow of a fencer's salute. Then he turned and vanished into the gate. One by one, the other figures in gray began to follow him. Vaderung, I said. Ebenezer grunted. That's his name this time. He doesn't throw in often. When he does, he goes to the wall. And, in my experience, it means things are about to get bad. He pursed his lips. He doesn't give recognition like that lightly, Hoss. I talked to him a couple of days ago, I said. He told me about the curse, put the gun in my hand for me, and showed me where to point it. Ebenezer nodded. He taught Merlin, you know, the original Merlin. How'd Merlin make out? I asked. No one's sure, Ebenezer said. But from his journals, he wasn't the kind to go in his sleep. I snorted. The old man stood up and used his right hand to pull his hood up over his face. He paused and then looked at me. I won't lecture you about Mab, boy. I've made bargains myself sometimes. He twitched his left hand, which was still lined with black veins, though not as much as it had been hours before. We do what we think we must to protect who we can. Yeah, I said. She might lean on you pretty hard, try to put you into a box you don't want to be in, but don't let her. She can't take away your will, even if she can make it seem that way. He sighed again, but there was bedrock in his voice. That's the one thing all these dark beings and powers can't do. Take away your ability to choose. They can kill you, they can make you do things, but they can't make you choose to do them. They almost always try to lie to you about that. Don't fall for it. I won't, I said. I looked up at him and said, thank you, Grandfather. He wrinkled up his nose. Ouch, that doesn't fit. Grandpa, I said. Gramps? He put his hand against his chest. I smiled a little. Sir. He nodded at the child. What will you do with her? What I see fit, I said, but gently. Maybe it's better if you don't know. Both pain and faintly amused resignation showed in his face. Maybe it is. See you soon, Hoss. He got halfway down the stairs before I said, sir, do you want your staff? He nodded at me. You keep it until I can get you a new blank. I nodded back at him. Then I said, I don't know what to say. His eyes wrinkled up even more heavily at the corners. Hell, Hoss, then don't say anything. He turned and called over his shoulder. You're getting less trouble that way. My grandfather kept going down the stairs, walking with quick, sure strides. He vanished through the doorway of lightning. I heard steps behind me and turned to find Murphy standing in the doorway of the temple. Fidlakius rode over one shoulder, and her P90 hung from its strap on the other. She looked tired. Her hair was all coming out of its ponytail, strands hanging here and there. She studied my face, smiled slightly, and came down to where I sat. Hey, she said, her voice hushed. You back? I guess I am. Sonya was worried, she said, with a little roll of her eyes. Oh, I said. Well, tell him not to worry. I'm still here. She nodded and stepped closer. So, this is her? I nodded and looked down at the sleeping little girl. Her cheeks were pink. I couldn't talk. She's beautiful, Murphy said, like her mother. I nodded and rolled one tired and complaining shoulder. She is. Do you want someone else to take her for a minute? My arms tightened on the child, and I felt myself turn a little away from her. Okay, Murphy said gently, raising her hands. Okay.